Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. Good morning to this TED line this morning. I'm so excited. Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, I set my faith in agreement with Jesus believers all over the world. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. My heart is thankful this morning. I am in the flow, in the wave, in the move of God that is taking place right now around the world. I'm so happy to be in the flow, to be in the flow. Those of you that are in the flow of the TV network, I would advise you to get the information they've asked you for and Follow those instructions that they've given you, because it is, you're going to be getting an email pretty soon, I'm sure, of the first production type meeting. I'm not certain. I'm just talking here. But I tell you this, it shall be and it shall come to pass. I can tell you that for certainty. And I want to share something with you. You know, fear is gripping this nation. As a matter of fact, fear has a grip on the world right now. Evil spirits of fear and panic and terror are everywhere. But I want to tell you something. They're trying to destroy our trust and our faith in God. Don't let it happen. Don't let the devil do that to you. All right? Another thing that I must say, I'm going to do some teaching sometime this week. I don't know when. But some of you do not have a clear and working understanding of this heavenly realm or a biblically based understanding of the spiritual realm. And I want to clear that up for you. Because I read this email yesterday that was sent to me and it was sent out to you by mistake. So I want to apologize for that. Those of you that got that email, that was a mistake. That was supposed to be sent to me, but it was sent to 12 or 13 people in that TV group. But in the email, the person said this. They said, "I know God." And I thought to myself all day, I don't know which one of my websites I talk about God, but maybe once or twice a year I really talk about God and I really help people get a real fresh revelation of God. But in that email it said, "I know God." And I said to myself, God, still trying to learn you. I am still trying to learn you. But somebody say, "I know God." And I said, I will never, ever in my life utter those words again. I don't generally use them anyway, "I know God." But that's a dangerous thing to say. I know God. You know why, brothers and sisters? None of us. If we really, 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 really knew God, you would have stopped COVID. If you really, 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 really know God, you'll stop these earthquakes. You'll stop these floods. You'll stop these tornadoes if you really, really, really know God. So I think the term is we're yet learning God. We're yet getting a better understanding of God. I believe if we know God, because if we know God, then we know ourselves. And if we know God, then we know how God works. We know how God plans. We know how God thinks. We know how God moves. I mean, if we really know God, I think that's a dangerous statement. I think it can be misleading. And a lot of people use it. So I had to sit back And I said, God, I want to know you better. Because I don't know you yet. And maybe I won't ever really know you until I get to heaven. And then I said, God, I bet when I get to heaven, you'll be so busy, you probably won't even have time for me. I have to get to know you like I hope people do me. Through experience and longevity, by being around me, by observing my ways and my character and my nature. I said, God, I want to really know you, but I'm not there yet. Help me. Help me get there. As far there as I can get before I go to be with you in heaven. As close to you as I can get on earth. Because I really realize I know some of God. Another statement in the email, it made me think, was this. Brothers and sisters, I don't think the person that sent the email understands that God is so great. He ain't going to put nothing on you from the person he sent you to be made free. The person that should be worried is me. Because you bring all of your demons right here. But you know what? You're supposed to. Because God has prepared a place for them to be dealt with right here. There's a special anointing right here for that. Please. Again, I apologize for the email. It was sent by mistake. It mentioned that there's no emotionalism here. No more than should be. So, this is why I say, I want you to know why I say, I am learning God. I'm learning better his ways, his nature, his character, his actions. So I think if I have a chance tomorrow, I'm going to bring you into a fresh revelation of God. I can do that, anointed to do it, without religion too. But don't get me wrong, religion is good. Like the Lord told me a year ago or two, he said, more people have come to me through religion than any other way. I said, praise God for religion. But the objective is not to stop there, brothers and sisters. This is what I want to share with you. I've been on this blog. I mean, I've been on the Blog Talk Radio maybe since, I don't know, 2000, maybe 8. You know, I started out with Spirit Go. But I guess I really started taking it serious. All I was looking for was a way to preach and get the message of deliverance out. You see, that's what I'm anointed to do, because I told you there's no such thing as a deliverance minister. It ain't in the Bible. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, fivefold ministry giftings to the body of Christ. The Bible said Jesus died, he ascended, and he gave gifts unto men. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, fivefold ministry gifting to the body of Christ. And that's why I ask people, what is your calling? What I'm searching for is, do they know where they at supposed to be at in the fivefold ministry gifting and calling? And the most important thing is, has God called you? Because in addition to apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, God has special anointings that he puts on special people. Special who? I don't know, but apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. For the work of the ministry. And what is the work of the ministry? The work of the ministry is the edifying and the building up, not tearing down. Building up of the believers. So this is what I want to share with you. You know, I came off of Facebook when God said come off. I came off YouTube when God made some circumstances that it would be best for me to come off. I never dealt with too many of the other ones. And I came off. At that time, when I came off, I knew that my YouTube subscribers was heading on into 3,000. But God said, shut it down, come off. And I came off. You see, I know that as a minister of this good news, this gospel, the only thing that is really relevant is that you obey God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You got to know that the goodness of God rests on you and abides with you. And some of the other stuff, you know, you can't even let that stuff get in your way, because it will try to get in your way. Get what, Erica? The spirit of distractions. And the spirit of delay. Distractions, which, you know, we dealt with that. We haven't really dealt with delay. So I came off and I started focusing in on what God said focus in on, which is, of course, Jesus. Now, the reason God said focus in on Jesus, because it's a time when so much stuff negative and fear, like I said, and panic and terror, along with a lot of other spiritual opposing forces that really were, and still are, as a matter of fact, trying to take God's people away from the fact that God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So everybody on this line, everybody that has ever come in contact with me or been affiliated with my ministry in any way has been delivered from something. Are you hearing me this morning? And if some of you would tell the truth, like Jessica did one day, when she said, that when she came on this my program from Omega Man Radio, when I had a vision, and when I recounted the vision, it was her household, and it was only about the vision was about a knife that was in a drawer, but it was a special kind of knife. It was a dagger. And then she realized that was me. That was her. And the rest is history. But if some of you would go back and stop being so self-righteous and, you know, and accept the fact that God sent somebody to help you at some point. Unlike churches, I am a missionary. I cut my teeth on itinerant ministry. And that's what I do. The difference between missionaries and most pastors, I think, is that Missionaries are sent out to help. You know, in the Bible, there's still a ministry called the Ministry of Helps, just like there's a ministry of government. There's a ministry of giving. God has all those things in his kingdom, and they work. And I thank God that God, because I'm just like a bulldog. When I get a hold of something, when I get a hold to the hard problems and somebody's deliverance, I don't let go until I see them free. And then I write these little books and things. I think to date, I counted them. I have about 400 that I've written, about 400. And let me tell you how I know. Actually, according to where my messages are archived, I have 502. Because every time I go to speak, even like right now, I got this message typed up in front of me. I don't know if I'm going to go there or not, but typed up every day. God gives me something, which turns it into a little, at least 25, 30 pages. Sometimes 100 or sometimes 200. But this is every day God gives me something. Sometimes I have to put it together. So God took me off, right? I'm getting there. A situation came up. And it forced me. It forced me to have to step back and realize something. There were people all over the world, and they were teaching and are teaching my messages that God has given me. But he didn't give them to me anyway in the first place. He gave them to me to give to the people. But the peculiar thing is this. Every morning I get up. Sometimes I start it at night. Sometimes he'll wake me up at 1, 2 in the morning or 3. That's why I go to bed so early. Do you know, as I'm sitting here talking to you right now, that's why I had to go back to the tail line, but long as I put Jesus first. But God knew he was going to surprise me with this. You ready? I had no idea that I was on 42 podcasting stations in the USA. I'm on 18 around the world right now. You can Google me. But you have to Google Erica Tedline. Could not believe it. I did not do one thing. But God said, come off. Keep doing the messages I give you. And watch me work. I had no idea. So I did Google myself. I mean, I Googled Erica Tedline, and I was all over the place. I'm all over the place. And I had absolutely no idea. Remember when I had the problem with the Germans? The Germans were over there selling my messages in Germany. The messages are wide open in Switzerland. Well, you know they're in Paraguay. Well, I didn't know they were all over Latin America. The people in Africa took my name off of them and put their name. You see, God is in the business of multiplication. And it may even look like he'll tell you to do something and that email said, lean not to your own understanding. I don't. Because I never know what God is doing. I just know I have to follow. So as I'm talking right now, it's beaming out to 42 different podcasting platforms. And it's beaming out to those ones around the world. Believe you me, I have fought some serious battles. I fought hackers to try, and that made me get the station better. That made me start studying what I was really doing, because I didn't start out to do this. I just started. I wanted, seriously, I wanted the message of deliverance to become palatable. That has been my ambition. I wanted the ministry of deliverance to become normal and accepted and acceptable. That's all I ever wanted to do. I wanted people to embrace spiritual freedom instead of running from it. I wanted to bring the benefits of it out in the forefront to allow people to know that the only way that you're going to get closer, the only way that you're going to have more of the fullness of God flowing through you, operating through your life, is you got to get the spiritual garbage out. That's all I ever wanted to do. I wanted people to experience the liberty that God talks about, the blessings that God says you can have. Because when I came to Christ, I didn't see it. I saw a bunch of messed up people. And I asked myself, now wait a minute. I wasn't messed up in the world. I wasn't poor and broke in the world. I wasn't raised in poverty. How can this be? How can I tell somebody to come to Christ and not see the real benefit, which is God's Holy Spirit, which is a Christ-empowered and fulfilled life? So, I have been fought day and night, night and day, up and down and all around. But guess what? Guess what? Listen to this song. I found this song. Here I am now. Here you are now. Here it is. Listen. season of open doors right now. You see, God did that for me. And can't nobody undo what God does. Remember, he said to David, he said, here's a key. Here's a key that will open doors that no man can shut and will shut doors that no man can open. Hallelujah. It's an open door season. Brothers and sisters, repent for what you need to repent for. Start over if you need to start over. But remember this. Your success or your failure is dependent upon your level in Christ Jesus. Your success or your failure is dependent about how much of God's goodness do you know about. How much of God's goodness is retained in you. You see, one thing I learned from being in the Army, I got out of the Army, I had 12 years time and grade. But I don't like to take orders. And I worked my way up to captain, but I came in as a second lieutenant. I had a degree, so I wanted to go in as an officer. And after 12 years of being in wartime and peacetime, I preferred wartime. Because during wartime, the military isn't so down on you about orders and, you know. And I was blessed because I was TDY, temporary duty assignment, for 3 years. 3 years. I worked with civilian people. I didn't even wear a uniform, except when I went back to the base. And I was able to work around the world. Around the world. And then, you know, I went in the beer business and then was recruited into the whiskey business. So, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God's way is the only way. You hear me? And when God exalts a person, it is for one reason and one reason alone. And I'm going to tell you that reason right now. That reason is that God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. That's what the scriptures say. So for God to exalt you, he's exalting himself. For God to lift you up, he's lifting himself up. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Help me lift Jesus. But until you get an understanding and a revelation of this, you're going to keep on going around in circles, going nowhere fast. You know why? Elevation from God comes from within. And if you don't pass the first test, you're going to go around in the circle and that test going to come back right in front of you again. You don't pass it then, you're going to go back around in the circle. And you're not going to be elevated until you get it, whatever it is God is trying for you to get. And basically, it's himself. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be low down. You don't have to be dirty.
You don't have to steal nothing. That's the way of the world. It does not work in the kingdom of God. You see, what a lot of people don't understand, I used to not. I said it one time, and I thank God for being around Holy Spirit-filled people. How did I say that thing? I said something years ago, and I must have said it like I made something or I did something. And my spiritual father said, Erica, did you hear what you said? I said, yeah. He said, if you're a God-made woman, how can you make anything? I said, I beg your pardon? He said, if you are a God-made woman, what can you make? It hit me. Christ in me made it. Christ in me. Christ in me. Because I'm a God-made woman. When you're a God-made man, Christ in you. Christ in you. When you raise God-made children, Christ in them. In them. In him, we live and move and have our being. So I learned that years and years and years ago. And I've been trying to share what I learned as I learn it with whoever needs it or wants it or desires it. But there's a spirit. See, I've been writing about these spirits for 20-something years because I had to learn about them first. It is just now that people will talk about spirits openly and freely. Read my writings. Listen to me. Because God gave me the revelation. From Luke, marvel not, after he showed me where it said, Jesus said, look, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. And I couldn't figure out why would people want to obey or listen to something that's already fallen and can't get up. The reason the devil can't get up, because he's been judged. The devil has been judged. The angels that fell with them, they've been judged. So it just always bothered me. Why do these people want to follow a loser? Why do they want to follow something? It's not even human. Inferior to God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God, and God doesn't make any junk. He doesn't make any junk. When he made Lucifer, he didn't make Lucifer inferior. Lucifer fell out of the inclination of his own will, and the spirit called rebellion and jealousy. Those are killers. 2 days ago, they ran the Kentucky Derby. I love the Kentucky Derby because being in the beer and the whiskey business, I used to get to go to all those kind of things representing the company I work for, companies. The winner of the Kentucky Derby. Now I know why God would have me go. The winner of the Kentucky Derby was a horse named Medina Spirit. Did you know that? Medina Spirit won the Kentucky Derby. And the Lord said, I want you to go. See, this is how God does me. I don't know how he do you. But you should know. He said, I want you to go and look at the genealogy or the pedigree of that horse. Now, all the newscaster's been saying is that this horse was bought as a little colt for $1,000. And then when it won a couple of little races, they sold it for $35,000. And the horse is owned by a Saudi Arabian. And I looked up the horse's thoroughbred record, and the horse's sire always had Spirit on it in the name. I didn't bother to remember, but I was just trying to see what God was showing me. The horse's daddy, in other words, had Spirit. So this horse became Medina Spirit. That's the horse's name, Medina Spirit. So I said, if this horse sold for $1,000 and then for $35,000, I got to look at this horse. Brothers and sisters, the horse was not supposed to win. The horse was a long shot. The owner of the horse didn't even have faith in the horse's ability to win, but yet and still, he put him in the Kentucky Derby. Well, it costs a lot of money to put a horse in the Kentucky Derby. So the owner was willing to take that risk to lose that money on that horse. Because when the horse was for sale, the people that knew horses called him up and said, look, that horse might be a long shot, but that horse can run. That horse is a winner. So the man said he went on and bought the horse based on the advice of the people that know horses. Now, this man made history with this horse that wasn't supposed to win and won. Now, the man who owned the horse is a 7-time winner of the Kentucky Derby. The horse he paid $35,000 for today is worth $2,276,000. That sounds an awful lot like how God does things. The horse had the ability to win. The horse had genes from winners. The jockey who rode the horse, named John Velasquez, is a Kentucky Derby winning jockey. Are you hearing me this morning? You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. God don't make no junk. And lo and behold, when the horse came out the stocks, the horse took the lead round that track of the Kentucky Derby. Round that track, he stayed close to the rail. He stayed close to the rail. Why? Because the jockey was a winner. The horse was a winner. And the man who had the money bet on the jockey and the jockey's ability to ride the horse to the finish line, brothers and sisters. That's us. You came out of darkness into his marvelous light, and he is going to carry you and me across the finish line. There's no looking back. There's no going back. There's no drawing back. Because the Bible says, he who looks back, goes back, or draws back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. It is open door season for the believers. Do you believe it? Are you ready? Just like my dog Tracker. This horse is black and brown. This horse got white markings. Brothers and sisters, understand something. God makes you a success, but he makes you a success from the inside to the outside, and then he allows success to come to you from the outside to the inside. Brothers and sisters, success comes to the inner man. You got to be prepared to win. You got to be prepared to fight. You got to be prepared to sweat. And then, hallelujah, you got to be prepared to win. To win. Because there ain't no failure in Jesus Christ. There ain't no failure in Jesus Christ. None. 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 He won. And he sat down.
Jesus delivers, Jesus heals, Jesus redeems and restores. This is Erica Tedline, where transformative, extensive deliverance, healing miracles happen in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Home of the Jesus Believers Church at 508 Sheridan Avenue, Dalton, Georgia. The voicemail is 1-877-795-7110. You can reach me or this ministry at Jesus Saves, Delivers, Heals at Outlook.com. This is Erica Joseph Shepherd, brothers and sisters, and I will see you in the morning. In the morning. And you know what? Just like today, and just like tomorrow, and just like the rest of your life, you're going to have a good morning. So I say to you, good morning.
Hey. You morning people. No, I'm serious.